I'm going to share a few thoughts with you this morning. This week, Robert and I were talking on the phone. Shared some prayer time together over the phone, long distance this week. So he was on the road. And we talked about, you can go ahead, John, and put that up. The name of the sermon is Don't Let Up. And we talked about the fact of how after Easter, there's almost a letdown after the Easter week. And for most preachers, it's a good letdown because that week before and right before has been such a stressed out time and so many things going on that it's good to have a little bit of downtime there. But that's just the physical part. But it's so easy to fall into a spiritual letdown after Easter. I mean, there's been so much going on all the way from Ash Wednesday, 6 weeks earlier. There have been special services, and maybe you gave up something for Lent, and you'd been doing that on a regular basis during the time of Lent. Now that's over with. And maybe we've had special services and music. We've had some great music during the Easter season and on Easter Sunday morning. There's just been lots of contact with fellowship, Christians with each other. So it's by the time Easter Sunday, by the time sunrise service and the worship at 11 come along, it's just really a high point. The music is at a peak, and it's just you walk out of here, and I don't know how most of you felt last Sunday, but when I left from here Sunday, I was just high. I was on a high from just being in God's presence and among God's people. So, saying all that and thinking about all that, how is it possible then that after celebrating the resurrection, how could it be possible that we would experience a letdown? But we shouldn't really be all that surprised, because generally speaking, extreme high points in our life are usually followed by some of the deepest valleys, because it's just impossible to stay on that mountaintop forever. And when you slip off that mountaintop, you know, and start down that slope, it's just real easy to get to the bottom before you realize what's going on or before you can do anything about it. And it's scriptural too. It happens throughout the Bible. I think of one primary situation is Jesus. Jesus was baptized. He heard God's voice. Everybody around there heard the voice. The dove descended upon him, and God said, you know, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Where did Jesus end up right away after that? He ended up out in the desert, didn't he? Without food or water for 40 days and 40 nights being tempted by Satan. Well, you're talking about going from a high point to a low point. Jesus experienced it there. Same kind of thing happened on that first Easter morning. These disciples had been with Jesus day after day throughout the 3 years of his ministry. They had come with him into Jerusalem, riding on a wave of excitement and enthusiasm. You know, Jerusalem was ready to put this man as king. They were going to make him king. In just a few short days, they had had the crucifixion, arrest, trial, crucifixion, and then Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, there was quite a few roller coasters during that period of time. But yet, where we end up, the disciples, on that first Easter morning, they had witnessed all these empty things. They had witnessed the empty tomb and had heard from eyewitnesses the fact that Christ had been raised from the dead. Yet, where do we find them? Where do we find them? We find them huddled together, depressed, and shut off from the world. They were small men, not knowing what to do or where to turn. You see, there's a reason that we get down so quickly, and that is because there's a problem. Mark 16, 9 through 13 defines that problem. Read with me the scripture as it's on the screen there. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been sent by her, they did not believe. Notice, did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. You see, the problem, folks, is belief, or the lack of belief, or doubt on our part. We get it You know, we get down on the Israelites when we talk about them and the history that they had gone through. You know, as God brought them out of Egypt and delivered them from slavery, and all these miraculous signs and miracles that were performed on a daily basis, literally, in their midst. Yet just as soon as Moses is gone for a few days, they start worshiping an idol. They have Aaron make a gold calf for them so that they can worship. And we get down on them when this happens. We accuse them of things, but we really shouldn't. We get down on the disciples. The disciples, they were eyewitnesses to the miracles and the wonders that were performed by Jesus. They heard Him speak the words that we have written here, recorded for us. They were witnesses to those things. But we get down on them because of their disbelief. But we're no different. See, at the first sign of hardships, at the first sign of unanswered prayers, what we think are unanswered prayers, at the first sign of disappointment, we doubt. Yet we have seen the difference that God makes in people's lives. You know, it's so easy to doubt. It's so easy to question. Yet I have seen what God has done in my life. I have seen what God has done in other people's lives. I have seen answered prayers. And so I'm no different from the disciples or the children of Israel. At the first sign of any problem, at the first sign of any confusion or anything that just doesn't fit with my way of thinking, I begin to doubt. Our problem is belief, folks. The problem is belief. But there's a result, and there's a result that comes with this problem. The results are found in John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." The result of the problem is fear, withdrawal, and seclusion. The disciples were all huddled together. They were afraid. You know, there's one thing about fear. Fear can make you absolutely crazy, regardless of what you're afraid of. What you fear can make you crazy. I can remember as a kid going camping, me and cousins or friends, you know, 10 or 12 years old, you go out in the woods and you're going to camp it and rough it for a whole night, you know. You get out there and you start hearing sounds that just you don't normally hear when you're in the bed, you know, at night. And your imagination starts running away with you and you imagine all kinds of critters and monsters and alligators and whatever else that could be coming through the woods to get you. And you start, the more you fear, the crazier you get. You know, it wouldn't take much. You know, if you had a submachine gun out there, you'd be mowing down everything out there in the woods, you know. You get crazy. Fear can make you crazy. It clouds your judgment and your perception of what is true. The disciples had seen, they had seen the man whom they had believed to be the Messiah, the one that was promised. They had seen this man brutally killed. And these folks were scared to death. And they just couldn't risk believing. Maybe someone, maybe a fellow Christian, maybe a preacher, maybe the church itself has hurt you and scared you. You see, people and institutions will do that. But you don't have to fear God letting you down. He went to the extreme not to let you down. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you. The result of the problem is fear. But to every problem, the good news for us is that there's a solution. Our solution is found in Matthew 28, 9 and 10. As they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. The solution to our problem, folks, is worship. Worship is basic. You know, when in doubt, do those simple things that you know to do. When you're in doubt about anything in your job or anything, you go back to the fundamentals. You go back to the basics. Go back to the basics of worship. When fear grips you, go back to the basics. Go back to the basics, the simplest of our, the basics of our faith center around worship. In the simplest terms, worship is acknowledging that God is God and that I or you are not. We don't worship by going through the motions. We worship through baptism, like today. That's a time of worship, celebrating what God has done, that He has called and set us apart. The Lord's Supper, which we celebrate on and participate in every first Sunday, is a time of worship in remembering what God has done for us. We celebrate and worship in praise. Praise is a time of worship, folks. We often hear the term praise and worship, but its praise is part of worship. And if you couldn't sing this morning, blessed be the name, and feel the swelling up of God's presence in your life, then you need to search and look deeper in yourself. You need to praise God for what He's done. Preaching and teaching is part of worship. It's certainly not the most important part, the only part, but it is part of it. And I hope that you experience that as you are being taught in the various areas and as you participate in preaching and hearing God's Word expounded upon. Worship leads to obedience. Following Jesus' commands. He said to the women there that He saw, He said, "Go and tell My disciples." When we worship, our next step is to be obedient, to follow Jesus' commands. Worship God and follow the commands. Which in turn leads us to the final thing, to the sharing of the story of the resurrection with others. This is the most important message that we will ever hear. It's the most important message that we will ever share. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Folks, you can't tell a greater message than the story of the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Don't let down. It's an easy time of year to do that. Press on. Why? Why should we? Our closing hymn this morning answers that question perfectly. It's because He lives. Amen. Let's stand this morning and sing "He Lives." Kelly, if y'all would come to the back here as we say the benediction. Because He lives, may God's blessings be upon you. And because He lives, may you go forth and share the good news. Because He lives. Amen.